Shivasani Gaura Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada explained us that we should chant the name of the entire Panchatattva because of their intimate connection. So, when we are discussing Lord Nityananda, we're not discussing Lord Nityananda alone, because Lord Nityananda is not alone. Lord Nityananda is always coming in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether Lord Nityananda is Balaram and Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, or whether they appear as Nitai and as Gauranga, that doesn't matter. It is the same lords who are appearing. It is said, like two moons simultaneously on the horizon of Goda, Goda-doya Pushpadanta. It is said these two moons that are now appearing simultaneously, these are Gornitai. And of course, Advaita Acharya. And of course, Kedavar Pandit. And of course, Srivas Thakur. So like this, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became established in this world. Lord Nityananda is the ecstatic feature of the Lord because he is the servant of the Lord. When we begin to look at the tattva of Lord Nityananda, then we know that he is non-different from Lord Chaitanya, as Krishna and Balaram are non-different, the same Supreme Lord, because the Lord takes on unlimited forms. And when he expands himself into a form that is equally powerful to his own form, then we're speaking of the form of Lord Balaram. It is a Deepachir, today no slogans made. So many as lights can be lit from one candle. There is one original candle, that is Krishna. So many expansions are there from Krishna. But Krishna, he is the original, Swayam Bhagavan. But that same Lord has appeared now. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Bhakta Rupa, the form of the Lord who came as a devotee. And Lord Nityananda is known as Nityananda Swarup, or Bhakta Swarup, the one who comes in the original, the same form. Actually the same form of the Lord. So no difference. The only difference is that one is known as Sevya Bhagavan, the other is known as Sevak Bhagavan. Sevya Bhagavan means the Lord that is being served. And Sevak Bhagavan. Sevak Bhagavan means the Lord who is in the mood of a servant. So the same Lord, but now in the mood of the servant of the Lord. Ami Chaitanya Dasir Muni, the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the course of service, of serving Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda is experiencing great ecstasy, great happiness. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how the happiness of Lord Nityananda is so overwhelming and so intoxicating that he becomes drunk. He's drunk by that happiness. And one knows well that a drunk man cannot see clear. So in this case, Lord Nityananda doesn't see clear. So who's fallen, who's not fallen, too complicated. Give the mercy to everyone. Don't select anymore. So it is Lord Nityananda who doesn't select, who just gives the mercy regardless due to his intoxicated state of ecstasy. And therefore, Lord Nityananda is the most merciful. And therefore, Lord Nityananda is essential. Because, We can definitely have a competition, right? Not mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most beautiful of all, but who's the most fallen of all. Right? That's, you know, I mean, who is exempt, right? Who's exempt? Once we look behind the curtain, and the next curtain, and the curtains behind, finally we come to the raw reality. The raw reality of a fallen state. Who has not thought so many sinful things? Who has not done? Right? Who can say that they are qualified? Who can say? So, that's maybe okay. We can sort of brush it under the carpet. Right? That is the way things are. But at the end of life, there is no more brushing under the carpet. Whatever was brushed under the carpet is still there, and it all comes back. And then whatever sinful activities, whatever offenses, whatever mistakes have been made will all be there, suddenly staring at us, coming at us in all their ugliness and all their, and you know, and of course leaving us in great fear and anxiety. How fortunate is one who has received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Because that is the turning point. The turning point where a person will sin no more. Jagai and Madai were most fallen. We will not get into the detail today. But they were most fallen. But the turning point was sin no more. And then everything was written off. You see, whatever happened before was not considered. That karma was written off. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find descriptions how Chitragupta described of Yamaraj, who actually keeps the records, right, in written form of all the sinful activities of all the living beings. He didn't know where to keep all the records. He said, it's just too much. You know what I'm saying? It's like they filled up all the caves, they filled up every possible place, and still there were more sinful records. That wasn't all. There were messengers who were reporting the latest sinful activities of Jagai and Madai, and it said those messengers were falling in exhaustion by the wayside. So Jagai and Madai, it was pretty bad. Undoubtedly, pretty bad. But whatever may be, then the miracle happened. When they got the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. At that point, all these records were to be destroyed. He just threw them all in the ocean. And Yamaraj became ecstatic. Yamaraj fell unconscious in his chariot. I mean, he was just beyond himself. That, like, you know, his whole life, Yamaraj is dedicating himself out of compassion, out of sheer compassion, to rectify sinful living beings. Yamaraj is only taking on this ghastly role of punishing all these living beings for the sake of having mercy upon them so that they may become freed from their wayward behavior and eventually turn back to the Lord. And to see that in an instant everything was written off when it was so much was just overwhelming for Yamaraj, who fell unconscious in his chariot. So, just see the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So simple. And that is why this movement is so simple. Why? Simply by chanting 16 rounds and following four regulative principles, somehow or other, with struggle, with difficulty, with slips, with slides, but somehow or other, hanging on, brings us to the point of a sinful life, where at the end of this life, we can go before our Lord and just simply approach Him fearlessly and say to Him, my dear Lord, you know, please forgive my mistakes, because mistakes everyone makes. We all say something we think I shouldn't have said. Even Srila Prabhupada, at the end of his life, begged pardon for having said things which, you know, were strong, and he said, I beg forgiveness for all these things. So one may pray, coming before Krishna, please forgive my mistakes and accept me. One who has chanted 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. So simple. It is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that it is all very simple. Vedic culture is not simple, very complicated. Everything has to be right. What direction are you facing? At different times of the day, you have to be very careful, because there are different directions. Directions for sleeping, directions for bathing, directions for eating. You know what I'm saying? You need a compass, right? Or at least not a clouded sky. You know, what do you do when it's bad weather and you have no compass, no phone, nothing? You know? About the direction. Complicated, complicated. When the hands get contaminated, wash them 12 times with clay. That's a lot, you know. You try. One time clay, wash it off. Two times clay, okay. Wash it off. Three times clay, wash it off. Only 9 more times to go. So can you say, if I would even say the 12 times, verbally invoke it, that would be too much. You'd all feel like, oh, forget it, Maharaj, come on. You know? A quick rinse, you know. Clean. Huh? Yeah, very clean, nice. Huh? So that Vedic culture, Prabhupada told Pradyumna, his Sanskrit editor, who was into following Vedic culture, he said, if we strictly follow Vedic culture, we'll never get out of the bathroom. So, what to say? Yes. It is not possible. It's not possible. We are modern people of the modern age. We're not able to follow all that. We need a shortcut. A shortcut of mercy. We need it simplified. And we need help. Because in this age of Kali, sometime while we were in the Dragonsburg, I came up with this point that our birthright is weakness. Right? It's inherent in us. Every resident of this age of Kali, no matter who he is weak. You know, except a person who descended from the spiritual world, you know, Sukadeva Goswami or Srila Prabhupada or such personalities. But otherwise, everyone inherently weak. Oh yes, we pray. Praying is not a luxury. Praying is essential. But what's the use if we pray with crocodile tears? Right? You know what I'm saying? Oh yes, I am so sorry for all the things I've done, Krishna. I mean, please forgive me. Oh Krishna, yes, from this day on I will fully dedicate myself to you. And still we don't. We don't. I said it so many times in my life. I said it the day that I shaved up and moved into the temple. I said, Krishna, from this day I'm yours. It wasn't true. It wasn't. It was hypocrite. I've said it again and again. When I took sannyas, I said it really serious. It wasn't true. Every day still holding back. Oh, I'm praying. Praying to Lord Nityananda. Please help me. Help me to overcome this inherent weakness. This holding back out of foolish fear. Not putting my faith in Krishna. But foolishly holding on to put my faith in other things. Whatever it is. I'll find something. You know, anything. Anything to stay busy. You know, chanting, No time to chant Hare Krishna, but time for computer games. Which is like one of the most stupid things you could ever do, I'm sorry to say. You talk about wasting time, you know what I mean? This is like the epitome of uselessness. And it's like pointlessness, meaninglessness, absolutely wasting time. So we are praying to Lord Nityananda to help us conquer that weakness so that we may surrender that part which we are holding back. And that part is there in all of us, because that is the inherent weakness, the lack of full trust that if we just 100% give everything for Krishna, He will catch us. He will, you know, we will be in the best situation. Yes, it's okay as long as I have my credit card. Yes, it's okay as long as I have my health insurance. Yes, it's fine. I'll surrender to Krishna as long as, you know. But somehow or other, when we think of Srila Prabhupada, we remember that his spiritual master glorified him greatly for writing a poem for his Vyasa Puja. And in that poem, there was one sentence which was highlighted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it was, "In personal calamity, Thou has moved, absolute is sentient, Thou has proved." Now, that English, right, is a little bit classic, you know, it's somewhat archaic. But basically, we can say, absolute is sentient, Thou has proved, means that the Lord has a heart. You see that point? The Lord has a heart. And that is at the very core of our movement, the heart. Sadhunam ridiyam mayam sarvauridiyam taham mat anyatena janati naham tevya manak api. It is said that the devotee is always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord always in the heart of his devotee. But this is the point. So there is a loving exchange. So the compassion of Lord Nityananda is not an impersonal compassion, some sort of warm, wet blanket of lovey feeling for every living species. Love, 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 love. Oh yes, so much love. It's just flowing from my heart. The love is there. No, it's very personal. Lord Nityananda gives, he gives causeless mercy to those who don't deserve. And even then, if they don't respond, he's still loving. But when they start to respond, his heart goes on fire, you see. It's not just some sort of flow, you know, this tap that's been opened, the compassion tap in the heart of Lord Nityananda. The mercy is flowing. Flow, flow, flow. Mercy goes in all directions. No, it's in personal calamity, Thou has moved, absolute is sentient, Thou has proved. Lord Nityananda has a heart. And that heart is very deep. And the love in his heart is very deep. And he reciprocates with his devotee. As I said, first of all, his mercy is causeless and is reached out to whoever is in his reach. But whoever responds, right, is showered with unlimited greater mercy. And Lord Nityananda develops attachment to this devotee. The attachment that the Lord has, right? When the Lord has attachment to us, you know how it is. When you are attached, your vision becomes colored by emotion. You begin to see things through those feelings. You can no longer see things neutrally. You don't see things neutrally. Lord Nityananda is not neutral. Lord Nityananda is overwhelmed by attachment to his devotees. I'm thinking for a moment of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who in his final days was sort of embodying that quality of attachment to devotees. And I thought about it. He was entering into such deep loving exchanges and crying and in his final days. And one might say, yeah, but isn't that attachment, you know? No, it was to the devotees. It was like attachment to devotees who have somehow or other done service and who are trying so hard, who are such nice people, who basically all are just wonderful people. Lord Nityananda sees in that way, experiences in that way, very closely. So, therefore, we are living in an intimate relationship with Lord Nityananda when we are engaged in devotional service. Lord Nityananda is always engaged in devotional service. Lord Nityananda serves the Lord in every possible way. First of all, he expands himself and becomes Mahavishnu. So when he's expanded himself as Mahavishnu, he provides the entire material world, basically. So he's providing the material world. Then as Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, he expands himself again. He provides the universe. And as Kshirudaksaya Vishnu, he expands himself and enters into the heart of every living being. So this is all Nityananda. So Nityananda is providing the material world. At the same time, Lord Balaram is also excuse me. Lord Balaram is also providing the spiritual world. So it is Lord Balaram who is expanding himself into Golok Vrindavan, basically. So to say, he's providing that energy. He's that. So just begin to see, that's Nityananda, basically. Yeah? So he provides everything. He provides the spiritual world, provides the material world. He's there at every step, basically. Then he becomes the personal seat of the Lord. Yeah? He becomes all the utensils that the Lord uses. He becomes the musical instruments. That's why we were taught not to put the cartels on the floor, because it said it's the Lord. Yeah. And, you know, it's Lord, the Lord as the cartels, not just like clunk clunk cartels, no, the Lord. Harmoniums, mardangas, you know, all the Lord. All. In so many ways, his shoes. The shoes of the Lord. You know, we're moving the shoes. Lord Nityananda is those shoes. The Brahman thread of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda personally took that form. Seshanak took that. Lord Nityananda is Seshanak also. And it said that Seshanak has thousands and thousands of hoods. And why does he have so many hoods? Because he's a big snake? That's not the issue. No, he's the positiveness of all snakes, right? Usually we think of snakes as not so nice, but this is... He has taken this form because this form has unlimited hoods, and what you have on each of these hoods have a mouth, right? And with each of these mouths, he's glorifying the Lord. It is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that the mouth of Ananta Sesa is the jewel case of the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And if you want to glorify Krishna, right, then one must pray to Lord Ananda. And ultimately, that is to Lord Nityananda. So we're praying to Lord Nityananda that we may actually be able to glorify Krishna. If we try the approach in Krishna consciousness and say, no, but now I've made up my mind, after this lecture, on this day, Nityananda's appearance day, I promise from now on, I'll get serious. I'll really do it. Okay. It's New Year's Eve, I mean, come on, we know. Sorry to say, but the road to hell is paved with good intention. So that may not work, No, there's something. But if simply we begin to glorify Krishna, all right, first hesitantly, Krishna's nice. Yeah. Okay, that was good. Great. Yeah, you did very well. Why is Krishna nice? Why? Why is Krishna nice? Quick. Why? What? Can you stop whispering? I can't hear a word. Merciful. Something you said. Yeah. Okay. Why is Krishna nice?
He has many loving relationships.
Okay. Why is Krishna nice? Yeah. And loud, yeah? I'm deaf. There you go. Yeah? Kids know the truth. It's true. They do. So anyway, yes. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are like that. They have all good qualities. And we should just simply take it. Glorify the qualities of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. Now, in Vrindavan, in Durban is sort of, Dinabandhu has officially called Durban Durban, which means the far forest, right, of Vrindavan. You all know that by now, I think. There's not one devotee who hasn't heard that in Durban, that this is Durban, right? And I agree that Dinabandhu did not just make a joke when he said Durban, but that he saw that here the mood is very much Vrindavan, like Vrindavan. What shall I say, Vrindavan so sweet, oh Vrindavan, oh Krishna, playing his flute, oh Vrindavan, oh dust, full of mercy, Vrindavan, Giriraj, oh yes. Vrindavan. How can we not relish Vrindavan and all Krishna's amazing pastimes and so on? And we have heard and we have absorbed. But then, when we go to Vrindavan, we must know that, let me say it in a little different way. You remember how when after Krishna had left Vrindavan, that it was a very sad time for all the residents of Vrindavan, and how, they all suffered so much in the absence of Krishna. And that Krishna at the same time also felt caught in the situation and felt very sad, and that Krishna finally thought one day, I should send a messenger. And he was thinking, which messenger to send. And then after Krishna had finally come to the conclusion as to who to send, it was Uddhava. Because Uddhava was a great devotee. And in Dwarka, Mathura, he was by far the best devotee. And Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, by far the most, very learned also, so therefore capable of saying suitable words and all these things. So, who better than Uddhava? Uddhava was very, not only learned in the Vedic branches of knowledge, but Uddhava was also very expert in diplomacy. Yes. He was an advisor of Krishna in Dwarka. Uddhava was telling him how to deal with Jarasandha. It was Uddhava who designed this whole plan. You know, you go there in disguise as brahmanas and, you know, and with the Pandavas, and then, you know, like Arjuna you take, Bhima you take, and the three, you go as brahmanas and you beg for charity, and then you ask for battle. And then Bhima will fight with him. So this whole plan, Uddhava doctored it out. So Uddhava was very practical, the best messenger. So Uddhava went, and Uddhava was such a great devotee. And Uddhava was so happy to go to Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami says, was it the chariot or was it his desire that took him to Vrindavan? He said, it was his desire. Such an eagerness to go. So he went. But we all know that no matter how great a devotee Uddhava was, in comparison to the love that the residents of Vrindavan had for Krishna, Uddhava's love was like nothing. And Uddhava just suddenly felt humbled. And he realized, who am I? You know, I thought I had some love for Krishna, but now I realize I don't have any. I mean, look at them. Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, and so on, the gopis. I won't get into detail because the lecture is about Lord Nityananda, not about Vrindavan. But when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, right, although he was a loving devotee of the Lord, much greater love than we have, right, when Uddhava went, he was a great, great devotee. Who are we in comparison to Uddhava? But when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he was an outsider. And when he returned from Vrindavan, he had been transformed. His visit to Vrindavan was so powerful, he was never the same. Once Uddhava had been in Vrindavan, he was a new person. He totally transformed. His whole horizons had been expanded, and his love, right, had been deepened, and his humility had grown, and he had developed deep love for the residents of Vrindavan and the greatest respect, and, you know. But Uddhava was still an outsider. Yes. So in the same way, as Uddhava is an outsider and goes to Vrindavan, we are behind Uddhava, who are, you know, saying, way behind. So when we go to Vrindavan, we go by some taxi and this, that, okay, you know. Like nowadays, it's better than before, right? Before, you pray the whole way, you know, that there would be no, the way the driving was, you know, that nothing would happen. Oh, Krishna, please save me. Yes, Krishna. So it was good. Before, we prayed more. Now we drive peacefully on the Delhi Agra Express Highway, you know, that new one, slide along, and, you know, Vrajabhumi has come. So life is not as rough as it used to be. We pray a bit less also. And Vrindavan has changed our life. Who cannot say that Vrindavan didn't change their life? Those who went there, that it made a deep and lasting impression. But we left Vrindavan still outsiders, still lacking in love. Uddhava found he was lacking in love. We still lack in love. See, even in Durban, even in this faraway forest of Vrindavan where we are now, here at the feet of Sisi Radharadhanath, how deep is our love? How deeply can we actually approach them? Can we understand them? How can we understand the love that the gopis of Vrindavan feel for Krishna? We can't. You know, we can sing like, you know, and then put it very sweet, all the swar, you know. Yes, rocks and everything, and the attachment is there, feeling is there, the heart is there, it's genuine. Oh, singing like Gandharva, You seem pretty nice.
I liked it. Good. They say about me also, oh, such a sweet boy, singing so nice. Oh, Maharaj, your music, Maharaj. But like, you know, lacking in love, I tell you. Lacking in love.
You know, that's the bottom line, see. When we look in our pockets, empty, empty. Lacking in love. This is our situation. No matter what, right? We are outsiders. We're lacking in love when it comes to Krishna. So this is the problem with going to Vrindavan. For us, outsiders, that we are lacking in love. Therefore, when we realize this point, this is where we turn around and turn to the other side, to Mahaprabhu, who is here on this altar. And of course, Mahaprabhu is not alone. When we have a deity of Mahaprabhu, it means he represents the entire Panchatattva. That we know. Here is this Mahaprabhu represents Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadara, Sri Vasavi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Oh, because it is only there. It is only there that we get uplifted. Didn't Narottama Thakur sing for us? Nittai Pada Binabai. Radha Krishna Paitanaya. That without the mercy of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, we cannot get to Radha and Krishna. We will remain outsiders. So therefore, even here in this Durban, which is such a place where Vrindavan is our meditation, even here we must know that the foundation of everything is Lord Nityananda. We must know. But to take it a step further, not even in Durban alone, but even in Vrindavan, in the Krishna Balaram Mandir itself. Because Srila Prabhupada writes in the purports, in his Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, he writes why he installed Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. And he explains that he installed Krishna and Balaram, who are the presiding deities. Why did he put Krishna and Balaram on the central altar? Why not Radha and Krishna? This mystery has been raised many times. Now, that question may not be answered in the purports, and that is for everyone personally to think about. But Srila Prabhupada said that he installed Krishna and Balaram because they are non-different from Gornitai. So for me there is no doubt. That's why they're on the central altar. Because Gornitai are central at every step. At every step. Therefore, in Vrindavan, even right there, we depend on Gornitai. We depend on Gornitai. Now Gornitai means chanting Hare Krishna, right? Mahamantra, every day, kirtan, right? Kirtan, japa, the whole thing, Gornitai, right? Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Lord Chaitanya sent Lord Nityananda to Bengal. Lord Chaitanya, he could not go because he had taken sannyas. He could not go back to his own village. That was not appropriate and appreciated. Although nowadays we don't care so much, but at that time in Vedic culture that was not acceptable. And Sanyasira Upachidra Sarvaloka Gaya, one spot on the reputation of a sannyasi, and people start to talk and lose faith. So, and faith is all a sannyasi has. We have no wealth. But it's faith, right? That people have faith in us. That's our only possession, that faith. That's our wealth. Otherwise, what do we have? Then we can take people to the Lord. Otherwise, we are toothless tigers. Otherwise, we cannot deliver the goods. Anyway, so Lord Nityananda, was sent by Lord Chaitanya was sent by his mother to Jagannath Puri, and subsequently he asked Lord Nityananda to go and preach in Bengal. And what did Lord Nityananda do? Lord Nityananda started kirtan. He started ecstatic kirtan. And that kirtan was something. It was something, 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 because it is said that there were there was a whole group of young boys, and they just got into the kirtan, as young boys sometimes do. And they really, really, really got into that kirtan so much they didn't stop anymore. They couldn't stop. They kept on going. And didn't stop for prasad, they didn't stop for nothing, they didn't stop to drink, they just fasted and went on with the kirtan. And they became more and more ecstatic and more and more wild in this kirtan. They were wild kirtans also. They weren't your sleepy, you know, and everyone was dancing. And after 1 month of that kirtan and non-stop, 1 month non-stop kirtan, the boys were just like beyond themselves, and they start ripping trees out of the ground. Okay, we haven't seen that here, and it's also not necessary that, you know, we like our trees, so, you know. But that's what actually happened. And it said, and the old man, right, they didn't stay, they didn't stand off to the side to watch it. The old man, they started jumping so high, they jumped into trees. And some started to jump on the branches, and even the little branches, and they didn't break. Such was the kirtan of Lord Nityananda. People would disappear in that kirtan of Lord Nityananda and just get absorbed and never come back. And relatives would come and look for them, and they also disappeared in the kirtan. So many people of Bengal were just in that kirtan. And the kirtan changed everybody, and Muslims were in the kirtan, and everyone, beards and all, you know what I mean? No mustaches and the whole thing. Dariwalas, they were there in that kirtan. And oh, yes. It was just absolutely amazing. Amazing. Lord Nityananda reached out to all. It was later that through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis, standards were brought into the movement. In the beginning, there were no standards. Nobody worried about it. Chant. As long as you chant, everything was fine. But little by little, you know, Vaishnava standards also came via Vrindavan, and then brought by Narottam and Srinivas and Shamananda, and it all came together. Vrindavan and Mayapur met and created the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. So, the mercy of Lord Nityananda is our foundation. It is on the strength of that foundation that we are here. It is only on the strength of that foundation of Lord Nityananda's mercy that we are going to overcome our inherent weakness to hold back. We will always hold back. No matter what we say, no matter how much devotion we show, the nature of the resident of Kali Yuga is to be a miser. In Kali Yuga, everyone is a miser, and we hold back in giving ourselves to Krishna. And therefore, only Lord Nityananda's mercy can help us. And that mercy is especially available if we also Take up the glorification of Krishna. Take up the kirtan. Take up the service of Krishna. Therefore, the way to connect to Lord Nityananda is through, especially through kirtan, through chanting Hare Krishna, and through devotional service. Excuse me. So that is kind of, that was the 1 hour that they kind of allotted for this lecture. Of course, on a day like today, I'm not worried in stealing a little time, you know. Stealing for the glorification of Krishna is not at all stealing, you know. That is actually transcendental stealing, and such stealing is nectarian and full of happiness. So if he can steal a few minutes to say a few more words about the glorification of the Lord, that would be wonderful. But that requires your response. So if anyone has a question or a comment, then that would be very nice, because then our discussion will get a little more personal. So, hoping to get some response from you.
Spreading the Hare Krishna movement?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Isn't the spreading of the Hare Krishna movement also His mercy? Yes, of course. The spreading of this mercy is the very nature of it. It is. The Lord was loudly chanting. Wherever He came, He was touching people, transforming people. Even people that were not interested became transformed. And then, whether we chant directly or serve Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or one can serve the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Since this whole movement is known as the Hare Krishna movement because it's dedicated to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Therefore, every service we do is dedicated to that. It's like whether we are cooking, whether we are doing something on internet preaching, whatever it is, if somehow or other we are increasing the glorification of Krishna, then yes, we are connected to the mercy of Lord Krishna. And this spirit of being a Sankirtan devotee, of like somehow or only, or other, always thinking about how to give others this mercy, that can save us, you know. I mean, if we think about ourselves, and we think about how will I ever become a pure devotee, you know, if I start thinking about that, how will I ever purify my heart and start to try and purify it. Don't know where to begin, you know, to be honest. But when I'm thinking about giving the mercy to others, my God, there's no end to that task. And that task is just so overwhelmingly absorbing, and there's so much to do, then I forget all about myself. And in the course of that, the material desires start disappearing and all kinds of impurities go away. So this is the wonderful thing of Sankirtan, of becoming a Sankirtan devotee. So yes,
this is the one thing that the temple, yes, we can be in Vrindavan and in Indurabhan and relish being with Krishna, but then we turn around in the spirit of mercy and must think, how can I give this mercy to others? So many ways. Bring people. Bring people here. Invite them. Okay? Simple. Bring prasadam to people. Bring books. Bring somehow or other. Be part of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Nityananda, which floods the entire world. Yeah? That will transform us. And whatever is lacking, then at the end, in terms of personal qualities, then Lord Nityananda's personal affection for that devotee, that will pull that devotee out of material existence without any difficulty. That will do it. So therefore, with this lecture, as is my nature, I want it to be practical. I want it to be something, not just a nice talk about Lord Nityananda, but I want it to be something that we can apply, that we can say, yes, okay, let me do something with this in my spiritual life. Yes, yes, we give these lectures, one after another, they're recorded, there is a camera, and we just don't know how many opportunities we get to give such lectures, how many more opportunities there are for such lectures to be heard. So therefore, let them not go in vain like blowing of the wind to the branches of the trees, but let it not just be sound, you know, which say, well, nice entertainment on a festival. But let it be something that has some use in our life. That is my wish as a sannyasi who is meant to be a representative of Lord Nityananda. In that spirit, that is my prayer. Okay, so I'm done. No problem. So thank you very much. We'll get now.